Last week, I begged and pleaded with Indiana men's soccer coach Todd Yeagley to come visit us one more time before the month of November ended. And after Indiana ended Virginia's season a goal to nil in Charlottesville last Sunday, my wish was granted. Welcome back, my friend. How are you?
Thanks, class. It's good to be back. I love our weekly talks.
The door will remain ajar until further notice. Win number 200, no one cares. Program victory. The 29th time in 51 years you're into the quarterfinal. 200's impressive. You know I'm just joking. Of course, that's a big deal. But 29 quarterfinals in 51 years, that resonates. But we know that's not the biggest number we're chasing. What a great weekend in Charlottesville. First time ever you were there. And again, winning 1-0 in a hostile environment, the Tobacco Road two-step, knocking off Wake Forest and knocking off UVA. A couple of different styles of football we saw on back-to-back weeks. What was the key to your victory on Sunday afternoon?
Yeah, it was. That was my first, my own personal first time to UVA. I've never been to that facility. It looks a lot like the original Armstrong, with the one big large side, and they have a really good fan base, and the metal resonated a lot of kicking and stomping, and the place was buzzing, and we had a great IU group again. I mean, I can't say everywhere we've gone, it's been amazing, and obviously we need everyone up at South Bend this weekend. But yeah, two styles, a little different shape wise, different systems, different strengths. But the one thing in common is both these teams have won, had a lot of success through the years. UVA is a blue blood, and Virginia and Wake Forest, I would say, is on that cusp. And certainly the last 15 years has been as good as anyone. To go there at their place and get the job done, and I thought different guys, you know, kind of were able to help us in this run, and we haven't even played our A game completely, which is really exciting.
Yeah.
We still have another gear, and that's not uncommon on a run. I mean, it's hard to be, you know, these are really good opponents. So, but I thought we had good segments, and super exciting at Wake, and we chat about that, but to go to UVA and to win there in a really important, you know, game to kind of punch us one step closer to what I would think would be just a program, you know, another program mark. If we can get to a college cup in our backyard, it would be as close to the 1988 home field advantage that we had, as close as we could. And I would love to see our guys have that opportunity if we can take care of business on Saturday.
I brought that up on Monday when I was reviewing the weekend and talking about the big victory there. I didn't think you played your best game, and that's okay, because as I'd like to tell our listeners, we're in the results-driven part of the season. But how encouraging was that to you and your staff and even the boys, knowing that you didn't have to be perfect on the road in Charlottesville to the number 7 overall seed?
We bent a little bit. We were a little unsettled to start the game, and they came out again with a couple of really good attacks, and we were kind of on the back foot a bit, and I thought we rebounded well. And then I thought it was just a hard game to get really flow, and some of that's their system they play. It was challenging to really get a foothold of that game. And both teams, quite honestly, I didn't think they never had control of it either. And complete control. So it was these different segments, and it was, we've been going hot and heavy, and these guys, you know, there's a lot that they're playing through. We have some guys that are a little banged up that just keep fighting, and yet, you know, they're able to persevere and make a play. I mean, really good goal. And that's the big thing, is like, we're finding different ways to score, different guys to score, and our defense, which we always can rely on, is what's most important, you know. And I think that's where we were. If we were on one side of the ball a little cleaner on the day, it was defensively outside the first 10 minutes. I thought we were very difficult to break down, and yet offensively we could have had a cleaner day, kind of across the board, but we did create enough chances. We had a couple others, but you said it, class. I mean, but that's not typical. I mean, I look at so many big games. I mean, one of my favorite teams, that 17 team, in that UNC game at the semifinal, we were very average. And we scored on a restart, Gutman at the back post, and there we found ourselves in the final. We had fantastic performances all year, but that one was a little off. It was just a cagey game, and you got to be able to win those games when you're not at your best and not coming glued. That's the problem. If you're a team that's kind of always on top and you never have segments that you're not in control and then you don't, that could kind of unglue a team. And we've been able to be successful in games that were not our best. Other games I thought we've been really, really good. So that's a good sign for this group, Glass, that we can play in different ways and also handle a little bit of internal adversity, knowing that we're not at our best and yet we keep going.
Yeah, it's a great way of looking at it, and you can handle adversity and do so in finding a way to win through it, just not play through it, win through it, and doing that on the road, that's not easy either. And we talked about it with Wake Forest. I know they weren't thrilled to see you guys. UVA didn't have a choice at that time. No one has a choice. Once the draw comes out, it comes out, and you're ready to go. And you've talked about this team, what they have accomplished over the upperclassmen over the last 3 years. I mean, I remember you opened the 50th season, what, down at Clemson, reigning national champions. What bothers this team anymore, if anything?
No, certainly the upperclassmen, the guys that have been here four, and then our five-year guys with Brett Beebe and Maloon and Andrew Goldsworthy and Quentin, those four in particular, our fifth-year guys, they have seen everything. There's no environment that we will play in that's more difficult. We've had to win in different elements. This Notre Dame game couldn't be more opposite, right? We had to play them in probably the hottest day of the year, I think, to open the year. That was really one of the most uncomfortable games I've coached in, and let alone try to play in. And now we're going to be in the nice cold months of December playing against each other again. But they have seen everything, and I think that does give them confidence that, hey, if we're in a just an okay spell, like, you're going to play your way out of it, like, because you have done that. And what is important when you are in that moment is staying calm and composed. Make sure your defending is spot on. Start getting your communication a little bit heightened, and then we find our way through it. And that's what we'll do. And there's been other segments of games throughout this, later stages of the year. We've been really, really good from the first to last whistle. Maybe only a few moments that it wasn't great. So it'd be different if we were kind of just playing our BC game and getting lucky. Yeah, that will your time will be short. But we've had a lot of good segments, and I like that we've faced being down, having to score multiple goals, scored restarts, scored something from a play. Hopefully Hugo's got one more back heel in him in this run. I don't know how he still scored that goal, Glass, but
it's beautiful. Just watch it 20 more times, yeah. just in case. It still goes in every time. It still goes in.
But those are, a big save or just a goal that, look at Maloon's goal against Greensboro. That was just an unbelievable strike. Not that Maloon hasn't scored a really, really good goal in the training, but it's not necessarily one you'd expect. And yet he pulled that one out, and it just changed the momentum of that game. And we had a really good performance in that quarterfinal last year. So I'm excited to see who Mr. December is. We know who Mr. November was, Glass, our boy Maloon. Hopefully we'll have I told him today, I'm asking, who's it going to be? And then I said, Maloon, you can do it again. You can have 2 months. It's allowed. But we had a good laugh with that today. But you need someone – you need an extraordinary step up, and I think any team we've had that's made deep runs, there's been some player that's just taken their game to a new level, and maybe multiple, but maybe one has really ticked it up, and that's been Maloon in November, right?
Before we leave Charlottesville in the 1-0 round of 16 victory, two players that obviously jumped off the page. Maloon, I will connect him with Collins Oduro. Your freshman now has scored two goals in three games in the NCAA tournament. That's fantastic. And Jansen Miller's goal prevention was that contribution was important as well. Those two individual performances, not Hugo, not Sam Sarver, not Patrick McDonald, different guys each game deeper into the tournament.
that's good. And I thought that was maybe when we, you know, Hugo had a solid game and he's been fantastic for us. And to say that one of our top players in the center of midfield had an average game, I'd say, if I graded him on the day, his average is still pretty darn good. But he's got another gear in him, and I know that's rare he'll have another large segment. But you hit it. I mean, you know, I felt that Collins in the middle of the season had two or three games where he just wasn't quite popping at his normal rate. And we knew it. We talked about it. And now he's doing what we know he can do. And he's doing it again when the chips are on the line, the most difficult time of year. And you got to love that. So, like you said, Glass, different guys stepping up at different times. It has to happen. And, you know, you just hope you have 8 to 10 of those guys and have their A game. And those are the days that are just glorious that you want to bottle up. They're hard. But Notre Dame, you know, we need a big play. We need a big moment. And we need some guys to play at their A game for us to be continuing on to Louisville.
Todd Yeagley, head coach, Indiana men's soccer. The Hoosiers head to Notre Dame quarterfinal action coming up on Saturday, 5 p.m. Alumni Field. Go to the Notre Dame website to get your tickets. Notre Dame was tweeting earlier in the week to their people, you better get them. They are expecting a sellout. I hate anybody to drive up there and not have a chance to get one, so go, go, go. I got them yesterday. There were some available, so don't wait till the last minute. And the proud history, and it goes back to 2012 when you played up there in the round of 16 as the 16 seed, and Notre Dame was the one. You win 2-1 as Eric Zavaleta won it in overtime. You go on to win the national championship that year. 2018, Notre Dame comes here for a quarterfinal. You have a crowd of over 5,000 people. You play every year. You've been in each other's tournaments. It's kind of Shakespearean to a degree.
And that was a fun 12 year. That was a heck of a game. And then, yeah, the 18 game, those two back-to-back quarterfinals at home were incredible atmospheres. And we have such a good turnout, Glass. You hit on the head. We need our fans to get those tickets so that we see the red in the crowd and help us to march on. But, yeah, this is going to be a sellout, no doubt. You know, getting to quarterfinals in any collegiate sport is hard. And for us to have so many fans up in the region, whether it's just south of Chicago or in Chicago, up in the northern part of the state, or Bloomington, we know it's just 3.5 hours. We need you. We need everyone. Because not only is the return on investment is we can get to go closer to home. This whole tournament, I say, guys, let's look ahead very briefly. Everything where we can go leads to a closer to home. And once we talked about it, we didn't really talk about it again until really this week. This is the week we talked about Louisville and talked about what unique opportunity it would be to play a college cup just a few hours away. And they all know, we know each other so well in Notre Dame. Our players know each other. It's there's no mysteries. It's just who's going to outperform, who's going to make plays. And I'm just really excited for this match. I think it's really good for college soccer. It's great for the state of Indiana.
And you have a pretty good weather forecast as well. I know that you guys were glued to your laptops after the game in Charlottesville watching 10 men Notre Dame. Well, they play 10 men, what, the last 75 minutes and both the overtimes?
It was long stretch.
Long stretch and not the greatest conditions either. I thought Western Michigan played worse when they were up a man. I don't know how that worked out, but home field advantage. You don't have any snow to deal with this time.
No, we – Yeah, and you could. I mean, it's not unheard of, and obviously Notre Dame had it on the weekend.
It's too warm. I've checked, buddy. It's going to be too warm. Too warm for snow.
Yes.
So that's the good news.
Yes. So, yeah, we're excited. Obviously, you don't know until you get closer, but we've also looked last, and the weather does look, I would call it, very doable December weather, quite honestly. And, yes, I mean, those are elements that you got to find a way to win, and luckily we're not going to be playing in snow. But Notre Dame, I mean, that showed a lot of resolve. I mean, for them to play a man down for a large chunk of that game in the Snow Bowl last weekend was obviously gives them a lot of confidence and they can find different ways to win, but it does hold out one of their key players. So, you know, you get a break when you can get one, and often this time of the year, whether it's an injury or a card, I think the cards, guys, we control. You know, we got a break last year, Glass. The left back for Marshall had his eighth yellow the game before against Virginia when they beat Virginia on the road. And that was a break for us because he was a very good player. And I told the guys, I said, hey, they might say that's unfortunate. I said, that's just discipline. Like that guy put himself in that position, and therefore we got a little bit of a break. We still had to beat a really good Marshall team, but these are the moments that I think can add up over the course of the season. And the player for Notre Dame just had a silly moment that obviously will hurt Notre Dame to an extent, but they're a very deep team, so I think they'll be able to put certain good pieces in to replace them.
We'll get into the Irish here in just a second or two, but it's interesting to hear about how many road games you haven't played over the last decade or so, because you've been a national seed and you've been hosting them all. How pleased have you been with these last two performances when it does count, because this group hasn't had a ton of road games to worry about?
I think, you draw it up. You're like, man, we of course would love to play at home for every reason we know. But when you do get in these positions and you have success, I think momentum in the tournament is the I'm going to say it's the most underrated. I mean, this is still a short track race. I mean, it's, five, six games against really, really good teams, but it's how you win it, where you win it. And when a team like ourselves goes on the road against really, really good teams, blue bloods, and gets victories, it just helps the group believe. And, we played a decent amount of quarterfinals through probably our history on the road of those 29. And to get there, obviously you have some home games in the way, but if you don't feel like you can win those road games and you go to that quarterfinal, maybe a little bit of doubt, like, man, we haven't really been on the road in a while. Our group has a lot of inventory just these last 2 weeks with having success in the road. And Notre Dame is a very familiar place. So I think that also gives our guys a lot of just confidence. We know the surroundings. We know what the field looks like. We know the bench. We know the locker room. It will feel very routine when you want as much routine going into the game that there is as much distraction and also so much to play for. You want things to be very calm in their minds, and I think that helps us.
Even a trip to Seattle in the rain a couple of years ago, you might have similar conditions to that. Saturday, 5 o'clock, Alumni Field, Notre Dame. Indiana, Todd Yeagley, Indiana men's soccer. Notre Dame has conceded 12 goals on the season while scoring 41. Notre Dame conceded 4 of those at home in a 4-3 loss to Louisville in the ACC quarterfinals. They also gave up 2 goals to Clemson in a 3-2 victory back in early September after you guys got together. So not a lot of scoring opportunities. What's the key to unlocking Notre Dame, and what's the key to knocking them out and advancing to the College Cup in Louisville a week from this weekend?
Well, they've been pretty consistent with their scoring with their two strikers, Eto and Rue, and they both have 10 goals, which is a pretty – like I say, 10 in the modern game glass is maybe 17, 18,
strong
15 years ago. Yes, 10 goals is hard to get, and those two have been dangerous all year with Russo cutting in on his left. Obviously, Eto or KK is out. That's a little bit of a break for an imbalancer, but they have a really good balanced rotation. This is probably the deepest Notre Dame team I've seen. So they also have their midfield preferred duo back. We didn't play against their top selections in the first game. It just shows they have that much good depth in midfield. So, and then their back line is steady, and it's a tough. They're very good on restarts. They can beat you from combination play in the final third with some of the players I mentioned, and they're certainly good enough to try to punch you in a restart. So we have to be good in all phases. But I think being really good in defensive restarts class, to answer your question, and our sound defensive principles and understanding where we can help when, let's say, Rue or Eto gets into some isolation moments will be important because they're very capable.
How about the goalkeeper? You've seen them now go through penalty kicks. You have not had to, quote-unquote, show your hand with that. Is that any kind of an advantage if you do get into that situation late in the evening on Saturday night?
Well, I think the advantage we might have had is that, in the spring we played them up in Indy, a great atmosphere at Graham Park. There must have been maybe 2,000 people in there. Fantastic environment up in a youth tournament, and we decided to play penalties if it was tied, and we did tie, and we finished in penalties, and we won. And I think that if there's any advantage, I think psychologically, is that the last time we competed against them, we were able to convert and win the penalty shootout. So I think that, if anything, gives our guys and maybe a little bit of doubt for them, is that maybe we're in a good place if we are in a penalty kick situation.
And it'll be a cream and crimson tidal wave arriving from Chicago, from the west, from Indianapolis and Bloomington to the south. Alumni Field, Saturday, 5 o'clock, Todd Yeagley and the Indiana Hoosiers look to add it. Well, now that you're in the ACC West bracket, you've already knocked off Wake Forest, UVA. Now it's Notre Dame. Everybody's in the ACC. We wish you the best of luck, buddy. We'll see you on Saturday, and go Hoosiers.
Thanks, class. Appreciate it.
Todd Yeagley, Indiana men's soccer, a massive, massive game coming up, the 29th quarterfinal in their program's proud history. The Hoosiers and Notre Dame Fighting Irish. Notre Dame, the number 2 overall seed, will host Saturday at 5 p.m. ESPN Plus for those of you not making the trek. Those of you who are on the fence, go buy your tickets. They're only $10 for adults, $5 for kids under 18. And you don't want to be left out in a big, big spot like this. Indiana had to win a quarterfinal last time around. They did so in Greensboro to make it to Cary, North Carolina, for last year's Final Four, where they were defeated in the championship game, and you guessed it, in penalty kicks. Best of luck to Todd, Roby, Christian, Tanner, Jeremiah, the whole coaching staff as well, and we will be covering them as far as they take us in the NCAA tournament. We will take a quick timeout. Joe Smith Reports, part 2 here on a Wednesday, is next.